Welcome to You Influence Podcast, where you will hear everything you need to learn how to be a man or woman of influence for the better in your personal and professional life, in business, at work, and in your social life. Becoming a person of positive influence has an invaluable effect in ways we cannot imagine, but can only be felt in personal fulfillment. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the You Influence Podcast. This is your one and only host, Rafael Mavi. Guys, today I want to talk to you. I actually want to take the information straight from the training material we just recorded for some of our clients in regards to training their staff and training decision makers on reducing the turnover among the employees, among the team members. So that training was called Five Ways to Reduce Employee Turnover. And what you're going to find in this episode are exactly five steps that you can take as a leader, as a decision maker, to reduce the employee turnover. Now, some people may call it attrition, turnover, whatever. At the end of the day, it's costly. And a big part of the culture development training that I provide for my clients is the topic of recruiting and retention, because I truly believe that the basis of all leadership and culture development will always be found in the initial recruiting processes. Not only have I seen this, you know, firsthand by hiring over 200 full-time employees across two different businesses, one for which I consulted for, the other one which I partly owned with two other partners, but I've also seen this from studying all the successful organizations, businesses, small, medium, and large. And most people that, especially when it's a new business, they'll ask you that, at least that's what happened to me in about 3-4 years ago. People were asking, they were saying, well, listen, with the rent on that place with 17,000 square feet, you know, how much is rent over there? It must be a fortune. What most people didn't and still don't understand is that your rent overhead is not the biggest expense in your monthly overhead. The biggest expense is actually payroll. And our monthly payroll was in the six figures. And what most business owners don't include in their P&L statements is the cost of turnover, which you could include that in a payroll, but it's not. It's actually, it's an additional expense that most businesses do not foresee. They don't look at it. And so let me just give you this information. The cost of turnover in America actually ranges anywhere between 30 and 200% of the employee's annual salary. So business owners don't see it that way because they only pay attention to the direct expense associated with the replacement, you know, like paying platforms such as Indeed, Monster, ZipRecruiter, and other platforms, which is in reality the smallest cost of the entire replacement process. You see, the hidden cost is the most significant cost, and that is the cost of replacement and recruiting process. You see, and those costs are in the labor cost and effort lost. So let me explain that. The biggest expense of having to replace an employee, you know, aka a team member, is in the labor cost and effort lost. You're paying for the labor to someone senior in that department, perhaps even a manager, to train the new team member, which results in lost effort of service they should be providing for which they were hired to do in the first place. You're also losing quality productive time in the efforts to find the new candidate. So to replace an employee that earns about $40,000 a year, it's costing you a minimum of $12,000. Replacing only five employees in a year, so let's say of an average of $50,000 each in annual salary, believe it or not, it's costing your bottom line at least $65,000, or possibly even more, because we're going off of 30% replacement, okay? 30% of their annual salary. So let's dive into how you can reduce the employee turnover using the five proven strategies. Again, this is based not only my experience, but also the experience of my clients and also big businesses that I continue to study, you know. And here's the thing. If it's good enough for a big business, let's say with 1,000+ employees, these are the same principles that apply to a local mom and pop business, whether you're in medical, legal, financial, doesn't matter, with 10, 15, 20 employees. It doesn't matter. Principles are the same because you're dealing with human beings. So first, you need to focus on hiring the right person, not the best person. I've covered this before in other training materials and, you know, in podcasts, but let me just elaborate on this. What does it mean to hire the right person, not the best person? Making your priority to find people that will be a great fit for your company culture is a determining factor of how long that person will stay with you. You know, during the training with my clients, I always put an emphasis on recruiting into a culture rather than hiring them into a position. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be looking for credentials and qualifications. Competency is important, but when you want to get the job done right, but priority is to get the job done right for a long time, that means the people will stay with you for as long as possible, and that can only be achieved when they believe in your mission, vision, and goals as an organization. You can train additional skills, but you won't be able to train commitment and alignment in core values. So that was the first thing that you could do. The second one is encouragement recognition. When you study all successful companies and organizations, you'll find that people follow leaders, not managers. Managers manage. You know, hopefully the right manager will manage projects, but not people. But leaders lead and encourage. You know, people need to be led, not managed. Encouragement is a big aspect of leadership. Let's say, you know, if you see big potential in a team member, you have to zoom in on that and lead with their effort and potential rather than focusing on their shortcomings. If your mind, and for the most part, and I'm the same way, you know, I'm not saying like I'm not like this. Trust me, this is all relevant to me as well. I've made these mistakes as well, you know, but naturally we are all focused on finding and noticing what's wrong with the situation or what's wrong with the person, you know, rather than looking automatically reverting back to what's good about this person, what's great about the situation, what's the potential of this, you know, example, or what's the potential of this individual. That takes time. You need to condition your mindset in order to look for the good and look for the potential, because the negativity will always be there. No matter how you look at it, if you want to be in denial and pretend that negativity doesn't exist, then it's just going to hurt you. So you have to be real with everything, okay? But you have to prioritize the possibility rather than the shortcomings of the individuals or the situation, okay? So find out what it is that the person is good at and then focus in on that. Encourage them. That's what good leaders do. And recognize them. You know, there's an old saying that goes, babies cry for it and grown men die for it. So we're talking about recognition and attention. Think about that. Most people leave their jobs not because of not enough pay, but most of the time it's because something to do with the culture inside of the organization. A major part of that culture is the lack of recognition, is the lack of encouragement. Okay, so please be mindful of that. Third, always show the career path. Now, this obviously depends on your business, but generally speaking, it's always a smart idea to show their career path if they end up working with you. I'm not talking about some high pie in the sky career if they stay with you for like 10 years. None of that garbage, you know, with golden handcuffs. I see a lot of that happening in corporate America. It is what it is, but I'm not talking about that type of stuff. Okay, statistics show that the average employee will stay with you anywhere between, you know, 2 and 4 years. We're talking about the longevity of their staying power. We're not talking about people that exit as soon as they go through the training, 3 to 6 months, and they're out the door because just, you know, there was no culture fit. I'm talking about somebody gets employed, they work there, and then 2 to 4, maybe 5 years, they exit because they want to take the next step in their career. Maybe the career path wasn't properly explained to them. They don't see any growth with that employer, so they end up leaving. Okay, now I'm talking about an actual career path broken down with realistic timeline between 1 to 5 years or even more depending on your industry and field. Show to them what's possible. Paint the picture, your vision, your mission. You know, I once had a conversation with a, I would say, fairly successful attorney who works for a very successful hedge fund about hiring tactics. And I said, you know what the number one question I always look for from a candidate? She said, what's that? I said, the question is there room for growth? She looked at me like her, you know, eyeballs were about to pop out of her eye socket. And along with her friend, they started barking at me in one tune. The friend I was like sitting with her, and I know them, you know, but the mindset of recruiting and hiring is obviously different. And the reason why they started, you know, defending their point of view, they're like, no, that would be the worst question that we would expect from an interviewing candidate, because, well, they didn't give me the specific reason, but you could guess what that reason was. They just said that would not be the question. We actually do not want to hear that question. Here's the reality. The reason why they're not looking for that question is because they have a scarcity mentality. Usually in a scarcity mentality leadership organization, for someone to go up the ranks, to go and grow with their in their career path within that organization, I mean, somebody else has to lose their job, okay? That's a scarcity mindset. A business, whether it's a hedge fund company or a technology company or, you know, a medical facility with 2-3 locations, you know, in your neighborhood, if the leadership of that business has an abundance mindset, that means they want to hear that question. The reason why is because they're focused on growth. They're focused on expansion. There's no scarcity in career growth, because if somebody needs to be promoted, whoever they are taking the position off, that individual will get placed in a different location, possibly even a bigger department to expand that area. Or if it's a physical location, they would go into a different location and help them expand. Like banks do this all the time. You know, they move their people around to regions where, you know, an underperforming branch or region is not doing so well. So they place their greatest asset, maybe from corporate office or from another region, from another area, into that underperforming location, because the banks have a growth mindset. I know small businesses, and when I say small, we're talking about, you know, they're doing less than 50 million in revenue, that have multiple locations in my city, in New York. You know, and they're always looking for people to go through the ranks, to grow through with the organization, because they're always focusing on multiplying their reach. They want to expand their growth. They want to expand their reach into the marketplace. Okay, so, you know, you always need to show the career path. As a matter of fact, every time I bring somebody on board, every time I hire somebody, either full-time, part-time, or even a 1099 subcontractor, I explain to them what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and my vision and mission. Because even if it's a part-timer or a subcontractor, there's a good chance they will convert and become full-time because they see the opportunity. They see the growth. I always like to bring this as an example. You know, a few years ago, I owned with my partners a skincare business, and it was a very complex business. So obviously part of the business was to hire licensed skincare professionals. Today, that obviously I'm no longer in the business, but last year, you know, in 2019, I asked a handful of them who used to work for me, I asked them, you know, who actually, by the way, so let me just give you the background of this. So when we brought him on board, I focused heavily on training, right? And not training as an employer to employee, but I also trained them on how to conduct their business by imagining like it's a, they're running a small business within a bigger business without having to worry about overhead, you know, insurance, payroll, any of that stuff. And today, most of them actually have their own business. Either they're working for themselves or they opened up a skincare facility and now they have employees as well. So last year in 2019, I asked, I would say most of them who are working for themselves, and asked them a simple question: would you have opened up your own business if we would continue to build that business where you were working for us and a partnership wouldn't fall apart, you know, if everything would be the way it was going initially? And the answer was no. All of them, without a single exception, all of them said no, asked why. And they gave me logical reasons. Financial, it's not easy to look for your own clients. You know, it's more headaches. They need to work more hours because when you're in business for yourself, it is not, you know, 9 to 5, you punch out and you go home to rest. When you have your own business, it comes with a lot of headaches, a lot of responsibility. It's a commitment you need to fulfill, right? And all of them said no. So what does that tell the business owners, decision makers? Those that refuse to train their people, those that refuse to show a career path, they have a scarcity mentality because they're afraid that one of the reasons that they will leave is because they trained them or they showed them a career path, right? And they're like, oh, well, now they know enough, they're gonna leave me. No, they won't. And if they will leave you, guess what? They would have left you sooner if you wouldn't even train them or show them the career path. The fact that you're training them and investing in them actually gives you a higher chance of having them work with you much longer, okay? So that's a very, very important thing to understand and remember. So fourth is learn to lead, not manage. Now, I've touched on this before, but let me quickly elaborate on this. Not all leaders can be effective managers, and not all managers can be great leaders. As a matter of fact, studies show that most managers are poor leaders. This is not me saying it, this is research. A manager that doesn't know how to lead their team is directly responsible for low employee engagement. Now, I've also covered this in a previous episode. I've also shared this on the blog some months ago. But research shows that disengaged managers cause the US economy nearly $100 billion in lost revenue annually. So a disengaged manager cannot be a good leader. A great leader knows how to encourage, inspire, motivate, lead by example, accept full responsibility, you know, always have bigger goals than the teams. And of course, as a leader, you need to know how to manage expectations. Leadership requires extensive knowledge of soft skills more often than the hard skills. Now, soft skills, we're talking about emotional intelligence, your ability to communicate with other people, you know, your tolerance. Those are your soft skills. Usually, soft skills cannot be trained. Usually, right? Hard skills is what you know, like accounting. If you know how to work, you know, a particular program, SaaS software, or whatever your, if you know law, right? Those are hard skills. This is something you studied. And the marketplace is full of qualified managers based on hard skills, but there aren't enough great leaders. That's the reality. So the fifth, last but not least, is to offer competitive pay. The reason why I listed competitive pay as the last and fifth practice to reduce the employee turnover is according to research from Forbes, Inc., LinkedIn. This is year after year. When surveying people on why they leave their employers, none of the top 7 reasons were compensation related. However, it is in the top 10 reasons. So that means 70% of the time you lose an employee, it is not compensation related. This is something that most business owners do not know. We always think that if somebody's going to leave me, it's because I'm not paying them well enough. Or if we're posting a job on one of these, you know, recruiting platforms, like whatever, ZipRecruiter or so on, we think like, oh, well, what's the market rate? Let me just top that by a few dollars. That's not always the case, okay? As a matter of fact, the studies show only 30% of the people that will leave you for another employer will have a reason behind their departure that is compensation related. 70% of the time people leave is because it is work culture related. You know, bad relationship with the employer, poor relationship with the manager, lack of recognition, so on and so forth. I already went over this with you before. You know, again, it all depends on your industry. You do not want to be seen as a cheap employer, right? But you do want to attract the right people, and the only way you will attract the right people is by becoming the right employer. You may attract someone through, you know, competitive pay, but you will certainly not keep them because of the competitive pay. The marketplace is full of examples. I personally know firsthand a lot of people that took a pay cut and they went from a toxic work culture to a thriving work culture with a major career path, and they took a 20, 25, even 30,000 pay cut. I know somebody who took a 70,000 pay cut. They were earning close to 300, if I'm not mistaken, and they took another job with just over 200,000 a year because of the opportunity and the peace of mind and the work culture and the alignment of the individual's core values with the organization. They bought into the mission and vision. Guess what? You cannot hire an employee expecting them to perform at their best if they did not buy into your mission and vision. As a leader, it is your number one responsibility to paint the picture of where you're going, why you do what you do, what you do, and then how you do it. You need to make sure your team is bought into your vision. Are all of them going to buy into your vision and mission? Absolutely not. But the more you do that with your team, the less likelihood of them leaving you in a shorter period of time is. So in order to increase the retention rate, those are one of the most important things you need to do, and that is know how to paint the vision and the mission of your organization, set the goals, and communicate in your core values so the people that you're bringing on board, they will share those core values with you. That's the definition of having the right person on your team rather than the best person. The best person, meaning if they have the hard skills over the soft skills, chances are, statistically speaking, they may not last long. So if you got value from this podcast, guys, share it out. I always appreciate you tuning back in, leaving me comments, asking questions, DMing me on my Instagram. By the way, if this is your first time tuning in, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever it is. If you're on iTunes, go ahead and leave us a review and leave us 5 stars, whether you love it or hate it. Greatly appreciate it. We are thankful to you because your reviews, your downloads, your listens are actually helping us climb the list in this category, which is the business and entrepreneurship. Again, this is Rafael Mabi. If you have any questions, shoot me a DM on my Instagram. It's Rafael with PH. Love you all. Greatly appreciate you all. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, please show us your support by subscribing and leaving a positive review to help us advance on the chart. You can always connect with me on social media by searching for Rafael Mabi at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you have any questions or just want to drop a line, the fastest way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram. Until next time.